Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Ever feel like one decision could totally change your life? You know, like just a wrong turn could send you down a completely different path than you ever intended. That's kind of the territory that we're exploring today. We're going deep into Dead and Gone by John W. Mefford. It's a total thriller, and it'll really have you questioning everything.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to put it.
An Amazon link is in the description, by the way, if you want to check it out. And if you're loving these deep dives, hit that like button and subscribe for more. So it's really fascinating how Mefford sets up this world, you know, where these ordinary choices lead to extraordinary consequences.
Yeah.
And we meet Alex, former FBI agent turned private investigator in Austin, Texas. Tough, resourceful, but haunted by the loss of her first husband. It's this vulnerability that makes her so relatable, even as she navigates the city's dark underbelly.
It's true. I think that vulnerability is really what makes her human. You know, she's not just a super perfect, hero.
She's not just some invincible action hero, right? You can sense the weight of her past, the scars that haven't quite healed.
Yeah.
And speaking of scars, Austin itself is battling a different kind of wound. It's this new, highly addictive drug called Wildfire that's tearing the city apart.
Yeah. It's really interesting how he uses that as almost not just a plot device, but a symbol of the destructive forces that can consume a community.
Right.
And it really highlights the fragility of everything's kind of in order. And then something like this can just totally throw things out of whack.
Yeah. And things definitely spiral. Starting with two chilling discoveries on the same day. Alex's son, Luke, finds a body in a dumpster behind the Paramount Theater where he works. While Ozzy, Alex's half-brother and PI partner, learns that his daughter, Mackenzie, stumbled upon the body of her classmate, both victims strangled, both connected to the wildfire scene.
Yeah, it's interesting how he does that, too. It's almost like, you know, you get these two parallel discoveries.
Right.
To establish a sense of interconnectedness.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're all caught in this web that they don't even realize exists, and their lives are becoming intertwined with these tragic consequences.
It's a ripple effect.
Right.
One event triggers another, and then suddenly everyone's caught in the undertow.
Yeah.
And for Alex, the danger becomes very personal. She's followed, attacked, even threatened by someone tied to the wildfire operation. He utters this chilling line, "Everyone builds their own destiny." It's like he's trying to justify his actions by claiming he's just a pawn in some grand design.
Yeah, he kind of takes away his own, responsibility for his actions. It's almost like,
right.
It's destiny, it's fate, it's not me, it's a fright. I don't have a choice.
Right.
And it's interesting, this idea of destiny versus free will is really a big part of this whole book. It makes us question whether we are really in control of our own lives.
Right.
Or if we're just playing out roles that we had no choice in. And Alex really embodies that struggle. She's driven to uncover the truth, but she's also trying to protect her son and navigate her own past trauma.
Yeah, and just when you think things can't get any more complicated, there's this whole subplot with Alex's partner, Brad.
Yeah.
Ozzy, her ever-watchful half-brother, catches Brad acting suspiciously. Secret meetings, mysterious packages, another woman. It really throws a major wrench into their already strained partnership.
It's classic Mefford. You know, he's so good at just creating that sense of unease.
Yeah.
He makes you question everyone's motives. Can we trust anyone? Is everyone hiding something? It just keeps you constantly on edge, wondering who's going to betray who next.
And poor Ozzy's caught in the middle. Torn between loyalty to his sister and the truth he's uncovered, it adds another layer of moral complexity to the story. Does he reveal what he knows and risk shattering Alex's world? Or stay silent and potentially endanger her further? It's a dilemma that resonates with us on a personal level. How far would we go to protect those we love, even if it means compromising our own values?
Right.
It's what makes Ozzy such a compelling character.
Yeah.
Not just a sidekick, but a man grappling with his own sense of right and wrong.
He's got his own, moral code.
Right. It's not just about solving a case. It's about navigating those messy human relationships and the tough choices that they force upon us. And as Alex delves deeper into the wildfire operation, she tracks down this suspect known as Shredder, leading to a tense confrontation in a parking lot.
It's like a turning point in the story, you know? It really showcases just how unpredictable the criminal world can be. Shredder, he tries to escape, but he gets run over by a truck.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's a shocking moment. It's just a reminder that even in a world of calculated risks, fate can intervene in the most brutal ways.
Yeah, it's a stark reminder that no one is truly safe in this world, not even those who think they're in control. And speaking of control, we need to talk about Nora Kreshnik. She's this wealthy, powerful figure connected to wildfire.
Yeah.
But her motives are totally shrouded in mystery. When Alex confronts her, it's like watching a chess match between two masterminds, each trying to outmaneuver the other.
Yeah, I think Nora's introduction really adds a layer of complexity that elevates this story beyond your typical like crime thriller. You know, it makes you question like who the real villain is.
Right.
Is she the mastermind behind wildfire? Or is she just another player caught in this web,
right,
spun by someone even more powerful? It's like he keeps you guessing the whole time, forcing you to reevaluate your perceptions as the plot unfolds.
Yeah. And to make things even more unsettling, Nora has this associate named Luan.
Yeah.
He's not just muscle. He's like this chillingly calculating antagonist, always thinking several steps ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And he devises this terrifying plan to trap Alex, Luke, and Brad in this underground lair with a lion thrown in for good measure.
Oh, yeah. I love that part.
I know, right?
That whole shift in the setting is brilliant. You go from the familiar streets of Austin to this like really claustrophobic, almost primal environment. And you've got the lion, which becomes this symbol of like the raw, untamed forces that are threatening to consume our characters. It's like Meffert at his best.
Right.
Using that symbolism to heighten the tension and explore those darker aspects of human nature.
And just when you think things can't get any more intense, we get this huge plot twist. Brad, Alex's seemingly shady partner, is actually revealed to be an undercover FBI agent.
Yeah.
Suddenly, everything we thought we knew about him is flipped on its head.
Totally. That reveal is amazing. It forces you to go back and re-examine all of his actions, but in a new light. You know, the infidelity, the secrets, even his willingness to fight back, it all takes on a different meaning. It's really a testament to Mefford's skill as a writer, how he can weave together these seemingly disparate threads into a cohesive and compelling narrative.
So he's not just a cheating husband. He's a man caught between two worlds, risking everything to bring down this criminal organization. But here's the catch. His FBI superiors have no idea about his deep undercover operation, his connection to Nora, or even the extent of the wildfire conspiracy.
Right. It's like this added layer of dramatic irony that really heightens the suspense.
Yeah.
You know, Brad is operating without a safety net. He's totally vulnerable to betrayal from both sides. And it forces us to confront the ethical complexities of undercover work, you know, the sacrifices and compromises that are demanded of those who walk this very dangerous path.
And those sacrifices become all too real when Ludin, driven by this chillingly cold logic, decides to drug Alex with wildfire, forcing her to choose who will become the lion's next meal, herself, her son, or the man she thought she knew. It's a brutal scenario that really showcases the depths of human cruelty.
That's where I think Mefford's exploration of the human psyche really shines. You know, he doesn't shy away from depicting the darkness that can reside within us all, the capacity for both immense love and unimaginable cruelty. And it's a reminder that that line between good and evil, it's often blurred. And the choices that we make under pressure can really reveal our true nature.
In the midst of all this chaos, driven by desperation and the need to protect his family, Brad makes a fateful decision. He kills Luann. It's a moment of moral ambiguity, a line crossed that can never be uncrossed. While it ensures their escape from the lion's den, it also alters Brad's future, irrevocably.
And this act of violence is like a turning point for Brad. You know, it's a real moment of transformation. It sets him on this new, uncertain path. He becomes both a savior and a fugitive, forever marked by the consequences of his actions. It makes you think about the nature of justice, you know, the price of freedom, and the enduring impact of our choices.
Right. It's that classic thriller dilemma where the line between hero and villain becomes so blurred. And while Alex and Luke manage to escape, they're changed forever by the trauma they've endured.
And you know what I think sets Dead and Gone apart from your typical like action-packed thriller is this exploration of the psychological aftermath. You know, Mefford doesn't just focus on the physical danger. He delves into the emotional and mental scars that linger long after the immediate threat is gone. It's a reminder that survival isn't just about escaping physical harm. It's about navigating that psychological landscape that's left behind.
And as if the lion's den and a near-death experience weren't enough, we're left with even more unanswered questions. Nora, the enigmatic figure at the heart of the wildfire operation, manages to escape, leaving a taunting note for Ozzy. It's a chilling reminder that she's still out there pulling the strings from the shadows.
Her escape really reinforces her as this like formidable adversary. She's a master manipulator who always seems to be one step ahead. And it leaves us wondering about her true motives, her endgame, and if she'll ever be brought to justice.
And let's not forget that unsettling prophecy from Sokol Arvanite, the Albanian criminal Alex helped put away years ago. It hinted at a connection to the events unfolding in Austin. And now we learn that Nora might have ties to Albania as well.
Oh yeah, that connection to Albania adds a whole global dimension to the story. You know, it hints at this conspiracy that reaches far beyond the borders of Texas. And it's a reminder that the world is interconnected in ways we don't always see. And the choices that we make can have far-reaching consequences.
It's like the pieces of the puzzle are finally starting to fit together. But the picture they reveal is even more complex and disturbing than we could have imagined. And amidst all this chaos, both Alex and Luke are struggling to cope with the emotional fallout.
Alex is trying to rebuild her life, haunted by Brad's disappearance and the uncertainty of their relationship. She's a woman who dedicated her life to fighting for justice, but now she's faced with the consequences of her own choices, the compromises she's made, and the people she's lost along the way.
And Luke, forced to confront the darkness of the world at such a young age, is grappling with his own sense of identity and purpose. He's no longer just a kid working at a theater. He's been exposed to this world of secrets, lies, and violence. And it's left an indelible mark on his psyche.
And I think this exploration of the generational impact of trauma is one of the novel's most poignant themes. Mm. It highlights how the sins of the past can ripple through time, affecting those who come after us. And it's this reminder that our choices have consequences, not just for ourselves, but for future generations as well.
And while Dead and Gone offers a measure of resolution, it also leaves us with a lingering sense of unease. Nora is still out there. The wildfire drug continues to plague the city, and the prophecy of Sokol Arvanite hangs over everything like a dark cloud.
You know, that lack of closure is what makes the thriller genre so compelling. It forces us to confront the uncomfortable reality that even when we think we've won, the battle is never truly over. There are always loose ends, unanswered questions, and the potential for new threats to emerge.
Yeah, it's a real sobering reminder that the world isn't black and white. Good and evil, they often exist in shades of gray. So what does it all mean? I mean, we've gone pretty deep into John W. Mefford's Dead and Gone. It's a thriller, but so much more than just car chases and shootouts. You know, it's a story that really delves into family, loyalty, and those choices that we make when we're faced with impossible odds.
You know what's really striking? It's how he uses that thriller genre, but to explore deeper things. Mm. Morality, destiny, and the impact of trauma.
Right.
It's not about just, you know, keeping us on the edge of our seats. It's about prompting us to think about, you know, what it means to be human, our capacity for both good and bad.
Right. Like he's holding up a mirror to society.
Yeah.
Making us see these uncomfortable truths that we try to ignore.
Exactly.
Drug epidemics, corruption. Violence. I mean, these aren't just plot devices. They're reflections of the struggles we're seeing play out in the real world.
And by weaving those real world issues into this fictional narrative,
he
lets us engage with it more personally. We get to experience the impact through the eyes of the characters. Makes us wonder how we would react.
Yeah.
You know, would we have the courage to do what's right, even if it meant, you know, losing it all?
Yeah, it's a question that definitely makes you think even after you finish the book. Speaking of lingering, let's talk about the ending. I mean, it does give us some clover with Alex and Luke finding a way to kind of move forward. But you still get this feeling that it's not really over. You know, Nora's still out there.
Mm.
A total phantom menace, like lurking in the shadows.
Yeah, and that's what he does. He doesn't give you that neat little, you know, tied up in a bow ending. He knows real life is messy.
Right.
That the fight for, you know, what's good never really ends. And leaving those open threads, he's asking us to think about the bigger picture. What is justice, really? Can we ever outrun our past? And what are we willing to give up to save the people we love?
Wow. That's a lot to consider. And that's why I love these deep dives. It's not just about the plot, but going deeper and finding those hidden meanings that make a story really powerful.
Yeah. Dead and Gone is the perfect book for that. Gripping thriller. But something to think about, too. A story that stays with you.
A huge thanks to everyone for joining us today. We'd love to know your thoughts on Dead and Gone. What parts stood out to you? Did you have any theories? Share your insights, your questions, really anything that got your attention down in the comments. And if you enjoyed this deep dive, hit that like button and subscribe to the channel for more insightful explorations of the books, ideas, and stories that shape our world.